The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Football. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. How you doing, Kelly? What's happening?
Not much, man. Just preparing for just been fasting, preparing for a big, big dinner tonight. A feast.
People should know that Kelly and I used to do a little program here with a gentleman by the name of Matt Brown. You may know him from the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni. We used to do a little show called Primetime Action, and we had 2 years of it, and we had a season-long golf bet in each of them. And it was a Survivor thing, right? It was a one and done.
A common golf version of Survivor.
That's basically. Right. One and done. And the first year, basically the guy who finished in third had to pay for dinner for the other two guys. First year, Matt Brown bought us dinner. Mm-hmm. And then year two, it was me. And so tonight I pay off the dinner. Undisclosed location.
That's right.
Somewhere in the desert. Kelly Bidlin, therefore, is declared the all-time primetime action golf betting
winner. I won both years.
You did. Nice. We'll do that.
Tip of the cap to Siwoo Kim. Cameron Smith.
By the way, you're totally not fasting today. Just want to point that out to everybody. He starts the show with a lie, bold-faced lie.
I mean, I haven't had anything to eat yet today.
Is it bold-faced or bald-faced lie? I can't even remember.
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a show. Dr. Bob on the National Football League. Bob will isolate one game that he loves above all. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports will join us, the vice president of R&D. That's research and development, Kelly, for the cool kids. Over at Sumer Sports, mm-hmm. You can talk football with him. The aforementioned Mateo Brown. Matt Brown will join us, give us his bevy of picks for divisional round. Kelly and I will go through ours again, not only once, but probably twice during the show as well, just sort of flesh out everything that we sort of mentioned this week, maybe didn't flesh out, just try to get to every point we possibly can. Dan Weston will join us after his winner on Elisa Mertens the other night or the other day. Well, she played at night, but he gave us the pick during the day here. He'll be back to discuss the Australian Open with us. Adam Burke with his football picks. Maybe some global football with Paul Carr. I don't know. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. We'll see. It could get crazy in here.
See if we have time.
Speaking of which, before we get into some of the football games, some extra thoughts on those. Tennis, yesterday, winner. Pretty easy-peasy winner. About as easy-peasy as it gets with the over on the Lehechka Cam Norrie match. By the way, Lehechka upsetting Cam Norrie. In an Australian Open that has been chock full of them, Daniil Medvedev lost yesterday in straight sets to the American Sebastian Korda. Actually, really not yesterday. It was just about an hour or two ago where it wrapped up.
That is nuts.
So, and Maria Sakkari just lost on the women's side. So basically the men's side, all you really need to know is Novak Djokovic is just laughing right now. Because he is such the favorite. And it's plus 110. Like, I would, to me, that is a better price now than it's ever been.
You're not worried about any injury concerns with him?
I'm not, because he's a bit of a drama queen.
Okay.
He really is.
You think he's just kind of building this up a little bit more?
I don't want to minimize someone's hamstring injury, because if you do have a hamstring injury, it could be lingering, and it's awful to just get rid of over time. But he has a bit of a history of like, I have this problem. I don't like to talk about injuries, but I have this ache and I have this. But he does a lot of
right,
that.
Right, okay.
I think he'll be fine. So he, to me, becomes just even that more of a favorite here. Stefanos Tsitsipas, still a lower seed than him, but keep in mind that's because Novak didn't get to play in all the tournaments last year because of vaccine issues. So that's the story there. And there's a bit of a, we'll show this graphic later, but you know the Netflix docuseries Breakpoint, where there's going to be a golf version of it next month as well, which I know you're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix focused on 10 different players on Breakpoint. Well, by the way, Breakpoint 2 is coming up later this year when they do the last half of the 2021 season. But they focused on 10 different players on the men's and ladies' side. 9 have been knocked out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have officially a Breakpoint jinx. Just want to point that out. Scientific. My two plays today. I have two more Australian Open picks. I have one on the men's side and one on the ladies' side. By the way, we have the odds for the ladies on the left there, but there's no Iga at the top. The tournament, by the way, for those wondering, the tournament really begins for Iga Swiatek now, starting in round 4. First 3 rounds were kind of a coast job for her. But her main rivals, if you will, or main, you know, suitors that could take this away from her, Sabalenka, Pegula, Garcia, in my opinion, Bencic, they're all still alive. But it's Iga's to lose, as always.
She's plus 150.
She's plus 150. Yeah, she hasn't drifted that far down, but really, because nothing has really changed to me at the top. Okay, so the two tennis picks today before we get into football. On the men's side, I made this play last night, so here's the deal. I took Alexei Popyrin of Australia, Alexei Popyrin at minus 132 over the American, the Florida Gator, Ben Shelton, who we lost to in one of our plays the other day, and Ben Shelton could not have been more annoying in this match. Like, you really wanted, you really developed a hatred for Ben Shelton, the way he was acting.
That's every Florida Gator.
Here's the, that's an FSU man.
Including my brother, father. I love my mother, so yeah, I'll leave her out of it.
The dudes in your family, all
yeah,
Gators?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal with the Popyrin play. Because I'd made it last night, it's gone in some spots, it's not playable. In some spots, it's drifted in the minus 150s, though I have seen it drift back a little bit in others. So I have seen someone just got a minus 138 on this. So if you can get this for anything minus 145 or below, it's a play on Alexei Popyrin over Ben Shelton. The other one, you might even be able to get a couple pennies better than I did, which is on the lady side. I have Magda Linette, if you could flash those back up again, guys. I have Magda Linette at plus 140 over Ekaterina Alexandrova. You might be able to get plus 145, plus 148, somewhere in there, but we went to the Magda Linette well the other day. She got it done for us as a plus 162 dog against Annette Contivate. We got Linette here at plus 140 over Alexandrova. So Popyrin and Linette, your two Australian Open picks tonight. Now, football. We had Adam Chernoff on the Megapod yesterday, Kelly. And Adam Chernoff is kind enough to come on the Megapod at least once or twice a year. He's always fascinating. I know he does follow the money here on the network multiple times a week. But he comes on the Megapod, and it's, you know, it's always great to... He's one of those guys where if he's against you, there's a little party that's like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. But if he's on your side, you just feel super corroborated by it. Not like he's infallible on it either, but you like that your thinking is aligned with his.
Sure. Definitely one of the better NFL minds out there.
For sure. And our thinking was aligned. Like... Again, I this is my issue with this week. I like these games so much, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I'm getting a little scared to see how many people are basically on all, people that I respect
yeah.
on like all the same sides.
All the same sides. What could possibly go wrong? So and let's go through some of those. The most there's no way we'll be able to measure this. But the most popular teaser of all time, for all we know, could be this weekend. Could be tomorrow. The Chiefs and the Eagles, which I got, you know, before the Chiefs drifted to 9, right? So I have a -2 on the Chiefs and a -1.5 on the Eagles, which I think most people have. What could possibly go wrong?
Yep.
So there's that. The Eagles-Giants game specifically, and we talked about this one before PASPA was ruled unconstitutional. We said if there's ever like an East Coast NFL playoff game between those two very franchises, those were the two we named, the Giants and the Eagles. Oh my God, what could the handle be on a game like that? It could be the largest handled game, non-Super Bowl category, ever because of the regional hubs of the East Coast with sports books these days, including DraftKings, of course.
I still haven't pulled the trigger on that one. So I don't know.
On that teaser?
There's this little voice in the back of my head of...
You haven't.
Know, divisional game, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs drifting to 9, so it might be out of your 6-point
teaser. Oh, no, no. I've got Chiefs wrapped up in teasers like
Oh,
crazy.
You do? What's the one that you don't have?
I'm just saying the Eagles side, I haven't...
Oh, that's the only side I haven't bet either yet.
I like the Eagles, and I like the Niners. I haven't done anything with them, though, in teasers or just straight sides or anything.
The other two things that just came up, and I just want to bring this up, and again, it's on the Megapod, the Beating the Book podcast, yesterday with Adam Chernoff, and Jeff Parlay is with us, Todd Wishnev. You know, the Cincinnati... Buffalo game, which has hit 6 now in more than one location, not just the South Point. But again, these are the two games on Sunday where I just don't understand the line moves on them. And one of the things that I say with my Cincinnati case is Joe Burrow, this side of Tom Brady, has the quickest release in all of football. And so I think it mitigates, right, that deficiency on the offensive line. Collins and Williams and Kappa's the other guy's name? I always forget.
Kappa, yep.
So I think it mitigates that. You know, it's funny because Adam Chernoff probably articulated it better than I could when he said, you know who's had real good success in the postseason before with a really bad offensive line? Joe Burrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so specifically, let's remember that. He got sacked 9 times against the Titans last year. They won. Thank you, Ryan Tannehill. or no thank you for those of us who had the Titans. He got sacked 7 times in the Super Bowl against the Rams. They lost by 3. So there is a school of thought, and there ought to be a school of thought, that Joe Burrow is kind of Joe Burrow, and it's not going to matter to him. And by the way, this Bengals team is vastly superior to last year's, because I think last year's rolled a bunch of sevens. Royal flush, whatever you want to say.
I think
whatever.
They're better. I think that these recent offensive line injuries are starting to bring them back in the realm of where they might have been at, but they're still better.
Wishnev brings up a great point. This is an in-game situation where you can figure, if you don't believe what I'm saying right now, watch the first couple Bengals drives, and if you see that those offensive linemen cannot block, in-game away on the Bills. Yep. If you see they can, in-game away on the Bengals. The other thing is the Brett Maher issue in the Cowboys-Niners game. And Adam Chernoff liked the over on it, and I sort of added the point, which he didn't even necessarily consider, I don't think, which is if Brett Maher misses the first extra point, let's say the Cowboys score, he misses the first extra point. Are the Cowboys then on every 4th and 4 at, like, you know, in longish field goal range, are they just simply going to go for it every time? And so what does that do to the total? That, to me, means even more of an overish kind of thing, because they either convert it and continue to matriculate down the field, or they don't, and the Niners are set up
fashion. I completely agree. Completely think that's what will happen. I mean, you've seen these reports of the Cowboys bringing in another kicker, but they're not going to put 2 kickers on the game day roster a roster spot.
So, I mean, just all of these different things should be swirling in one's mind when handicapping all these. And again, I don't understand either of those line moves towards the Bills and towards the Cowboys on Sunday. Let's see what Dr. Bob has to say. Methinks he has a thought on the game. We don't have a play on the side. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. It must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The reason I'm cracking up is because we have this breakpoint graphic, and I'm curious how many of these players can Kelly Bidlin name.
That's what the discussion is back here.
So this is again, maybe this is an angle for you when the golf one comes out. Boys and girls, don't let yourself be filmed by Netflix, because you're going to lose. Science.
I got Kyrgios.
That is Kyrgios. Kyrgios pulled out. He never even played, right? He withdrew.
I got Kyrgios, and that's where it stopped. and then I had Isaiah berating me. He goes, "You don't know what Anjabur looks like in there?" And I'm like, "No, sorry, I didn't know what Anjabur looked like."
It's Kyrgios and Badosa, who both withdrew beforehand with injuries. Taylor Fritz, who we had as a quarter play, who got bounced ridiculously, is like a -900 or -1000-ish favorite. That is Ila Tomjanovic, is that Ila Tomjanovic? I believe, is
sure.
It? I believe it is. I'm not sure. I can't see with the X on her. And then it's Maria Sakkari, it's Matteo Berrettini, it's Anjabur, Tanasi Kokkinakis, and Casper Ruud. Anyway, Felix Auger-Aliassime is the only one still alive.
It looks like the other guy in the top row looks like he just looks like a Roger Federer wannabe, is what it looks like. He's got kind of the headband and the look going on. I don't know who that is.
I got to see who that is. Okay, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Real quick, want to get to some of these. Chili Gambler says, "Oh, hey, Gil, would love to hear some Aussie Open men's future talk on the show today. If the Novak Djokovic hammy can't hold up, does this turn into one big game of emotional plinko with guys vying for the first title? The fourth quarter also looks very interesting now. I said it before, I think Djokovic is winning it. I don't think the hammy is going to be a problem. That's just my hunch with him. But yes, you're right about the fourth quarter. Roberto Bautista Agut has the best numbers. He is the short shot as a result of that. But you want to go against Andy Murray? I don't. Stephen Emchi, can you discuss a point I've heard no one mention? Is Joe Burrow just a winner no matter the situation? He's played with a bad offensive line, no Mixon, no Higgins, no Chase. He finds ways to win. Is he a young Brady who can rise above any weekly shortcoming or talent disparity? I believe we covered that a little bit as well in the first segment.
Joe Burrow's a great quarterback. I'm still a little nervous about that game, though, because I feel like the Bills are a very, very good team that everybody's lining up to bet against this week.
And this one's great because this has to do with Todd Wishnev interrupting me on the Megapod. So many tweets about that, but this might be the best one from Touchdown Jesus, who puts a meme of Bobby Brown's Every Little Step You Take, and he adds lyrics to it. Every little point Gil makes, Todd will be there. Massive interrupting takes. They'll be together. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bob Stoll joins us, pioneer in using predictive algorithms to give us the results or give us the outcomes or predict the outcomes as well as he can of sporting events throughout his life. He was a stats major at Cal. He applied that to sports, and the rest is history. How you doing, Bob?
Doing well. Good day in Wordle today. So, feeling good.
Is that how you start your days, with the old Wordle? People still doing that?
Yeah, I have a little contest with my family.
Do you?
And I got a 2 today.
Bob, the rest of the people in your family are 31-5-2. So you crush them.
I crushed them today.
Bob.
You know, I'm a numbers guy, so I'm happy when I get Wordle, when I win the Wordle battle. It's a special thing.
You're the guy. I can't wait for when your son starts playing sports and you just murder him as soon as he's able to play competitively. All right,
my wife always says my last dying breath will be, you know, my son is 15 and I'm 70 or something, and I'm trying to beat him in a 40-yard dash and across the finish line, have a heart attack and go, I still beat you.
That's right.
Die.
That would totally be on brand. All right, so we have the last great weekend, I would say, of the NFL season. I know people would say, what are you talking about? The Super Bowl championship week. Right, but this is the last one where it's multiple games. You really feel like it's all immersive. What do you like best about the bunch?
Yeah, I played a teaser early in the week. It no longer qualifies. I had Kansas City. When Kansas City was -8.5, I dropped them down to -2.5 and took the Eagles with them. So I did like that. There are some books that still have -8.5, and I think that's a good teaser. But I also bet one game, spread-wise, and that was the Eagles. I bet it early in the week when the Eagles was -7.5. Now I still like the Eagles here. I think the line, you think about this game, the line was only 7, now it's 7.5. The Eagles were favored on the road at New York by 7 in week 14, which wasn't that long ago. They dominated that game. They won 48-22. Two of the Giants, 3 touchdowns. One came after a blocked punt, so there's like a 15-yard drive, and the other one was with 39 seconds left with all the backups in. So they completely dominated the Giants in week 14 when it mattered. In the last game, I think the spread's a little bit lower for a couple reasons. In the last game, they played the final week of the regular season. The Giants rested a lot of starters. Philly sort of kind of struggled in that game. Well, they ran a vanilla offense, knowing they could win the game by doing just simple, running a simple offense. Jalen Hurts didn't run the ball because they wanted to protect his shoulder. I think that's out the window. He's a full go now. He's not on the injury report at all. They'll do whatever it takes to win, even if that means potentially injuring the shoulder again. I think Hurts will run the ball. I mean, he's going to have to. Most likely, but maybe not as much as he normally would have to, because the Giants ranked 30th in the league in expected points added against the run, and they're near the bottom of the league in run yards before contact. 1.95 yards is the average before contact on running plays, about a half yard more than any other playoff team. So the Giants are terrible against the run. I think Sanders had 177 rushing yards or something when they met in week 14. So I think that the Eagles' offense, they like to run the ball, obviously. I think it will work regardless of whether Hurts runs a lot. I think he will run the ball. He'll tuck it and run a few times. And they killed them on those read options in that meeting. They gave up like 8.5 yards per run play. When they played in week 14, when Hurts was able to run the ball. So we'll see. And even if Hurts gets injured, I like Minshew as a backup. He didn't play that great necessarily when he came in this year, but I like him anyway. I mean, going into the season, he wasn't that much worse than Hurts was going into the season. So I think he's a decent backup. So I think the Eagles offense will work regardless. One other thing I like here with the Eagles, and what Giants did last week, is they had bracketed coverage against Jefferson last week. And I don't think that's going to work here, because Minnesota has one good wide receiver, and the Giants and the Eagles have two good wide receivers in Smith and Brown. So I don't think that sort of coverage is going to work, and it certainly didn't work when they played earlier in the season. And I just don't think they're going to get the pass rush they need to when Hurts drops back to pass.
They have one good pass rusher, Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle. He's the only guy that had six sacks or more on the entire team. He's going up against Jason Kelce, who ranks second in the league in pass blocking efficiency, and he did not give up a sack to Lawrence this season. The only other Giants player that had more than that had three sacks or more. So they only had two guys all season with more than 2.5 sacks. The other guy, the outside linebacker Ojulari, hurt himself last week. He had a quad injury, knocked him out of the game last week. He may play this week, but he certainly will be hindered. I just don't see how the Giants are going to get a pass rush without blitzing, and that's all right. Giants like to blitz anyway. They're one of the most heavy blitzing teams in the league at 40%. But the Eagles do a really good job against the blitz, and the blitz opens up the tight end, as we saw last week. Hockerson from Minnesota, 10 receptions for 129 yards, and the Giants are, for the season, were one of the worst teams in the league defending tight ends. Well, the Eagles have a pretty darn good tight end. I mean, they have one of the best tight ends in the league. So I think it's going to be a big day for, you know, the Eagles, and, you know, throwing the tight ends, and the running game should work. So I think the Eagles offense is going to be great. Giants are going to have trouble against that pass rush. Eagles lead the league in sacks by a large margin. And they had 7 sacks against the Giants in week 14 when Daniel Jones started. Jones only averaged 4.9 yards per pass play in that game. And they just don't have the offensive line to be able to contain all the different pass rushers that the Eagles have. So the only concern here is Jones running. We saw it a lot last week. He ran a lot against man coverage. Eagles don't play as much man coverage as Minnesota does. And now they're aware that Jones is just going to take off and run. So I think they'll have a game plan to sort of combat that a little bit. So I just think the matchup works. And my numbers favor the Eagles by 11.5 here. Plus you've got the Giants going on the road for a third consecutive week. In general, since 1980, all teams playing on the road for the third consecutive week are 118, 146, and 1 against the spread. So it's a negative in general. Not saying I'd just play automatically, but it doesn't hurt. In the playoffs, teams playing the third straight road game are 21, 32, and 1 against the spread in the postseason. So a little bit of technical stuff that also, situational stuff that also favors the Eagles here. So I think we got good line value and good situation. So I think the Eagles up to -8.
All right, Bob, real quick, 20-second answer to this. So generally then you believe in those line moves towards the Bills and the Cowboys in those games?
Not necessarily. I think the Bills line is about right. I'd be a little concerned. I'm not playing the game. I'm not really touching the game. And Cincinnati, since the beginning of last season, 10-0-1 against the spread of the dog at 3 or more. So you're taking your chances there.
Yeah.
And with the Niners, I have the Niners by 4.2. So don't Niners really have much on that one.
Okay. Bob, always a pleasure. Enjoy the games, and congratulations on your Wordle victory.
Yes, thank you. I'll take it.
Dr. Bob at drbobsports, drbobsports.com. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports on the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports. VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We got tweets. I just want to read this one here because this will segue into Mr. Eric Eager here for a moment. But this is from Elvis Toast Patterson, who tweets in pretty much every day, which we love. He says, Gilly, your theme all week is how much you love your picks, both on your show and the podcast. I hope it isn't Monday Bloody Monday. Me too, Elvis Toast Patterson.
Yeah. Thanks for stating the obvious. We're all thinking that way.
That's what worries me. By the way, who won the tennis match yesterday after the podcast? Todd won, but I will say this. The scores are getting a little tighter, and Todd's getting a little bigger. And I'm getting a little smaller.
Ooh.
So he feels it.
Yeah, but you might slow down on the weight loss now if he's not playing as well and moving you around the court, making you run on the court.
Well, let's just say it's tightening up.
Might have to lose the cheese on the old Chipotle order.
Chipotle. I'm like I was about to say I'm the Jared of Chipotle, but he's known for other things, so I don't want to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Eager is here. I'm hoping that we have some different football opinions. He joins us from Sumer Sports, Dr. Eric Eager, Vice President of Research and Development over at Sumer. How you doing, Eric?
Gil, I'm doing great. Just the callback there, a little interesting. As somebody who also likes to take the cheese off of the Chipotle, you got me thinking now at 10:30 Eastern here.
I enjoy the cheese. I give myself the treat, the cheese treat. Other than that, it's all healthy. So, Eric, here's the deal. And with the tweeter there, Elvis Toast Patterson just said is true. I am super concerned that I love these games way too much. And I am, like, Kelly and I probably, how many weeks of the season do we come in here and be like, I don't really like this card that much?
75% of the
right.
season, yeah.
And so to come to division round and be like, oh my God, I love these, it's super terrifying. What do you love best? Let's start there.
What I love best is how much, the betting public is overreacting to the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line injuries.
Yes,
and I've been stung by this before, obviously, as both a Chiefs fan and a backer in the Super Bowl 55. So I come to the throne humbly here. But you know, when I look at this Bills defense, what they want to do is they want to be able to rush with four and play coverage, because their coverage, you know, without Micah Hyde in there and with injuries to their corners that have kind of lingered all season, they really want to be able to cover with as many players as possible. And last week against the Dolphins, they had to blitz Matt Milano eight times. They had to blitz Tremaine Edmonds eight times. They had to blitz Taron Johnson twice, the nickel. And even Trey White got in on a couple pass rush plays. And they generated, the two linebackers combined generated seven pressures. Taron Johnson got home both of his pass rush plays. So that's what they want to do. I fear that for them against the Cincinnati Bengals, if the Bengals can pick it up, which again, that is the question. If the Bengals can pick it up, they are going to get roasted on the back end by the likes of Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase.
I could not agree more. Let's go the other direction. What do you like least? Like of these four games, this is a Megapod question of, if you had one game you couldn't play a side on, what's the game during divisional round that you want no part of?
Niners, Cowboys. I sent this message. I can't remember who I sent this to, but I think Dak wears number four because he's either going to throw four interceptions or four touchdowns Sunday. And I know that, like, you know, we get, and that was the handicap going into Monday night. And I like Tampa Bay a little bit in that game, admittingly, not a ton, but I certainly put, you know, would it took 3.5 if it was available, got down to 2.5. So there was plenty of people that were with me, but Dak played a tremendous football game, and he has those games. I remember him going into Minnesota and playing a one-loss Vikings team and absolutely killing them. And so Dak has it in him. I mean, I think he's the best quarterback in the NFC, and I think that, you know, his high-end play is very good. He's very Stafford-like in that way. But the Niners are an absolute house, right? The defense is great. I know they gave up some stuff to Seattle last week. And then the offense is going to be really hard to defend, even with Brock Purdy at quarterback. So that one's at 3.5. Like, you know, I think, and it's trending towards four. So if you like Dallas, you probably have to wait. And if you like San Francisco, man, it's hard to lay more than a full field goal in a game like that when you're looking at a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I bought it down to 3 when it was 3.5 everywhere. So I agree with that as well. But I don't understand either of those line moves on Sunday. I don't. Like, I just think the Niners are going to get the best of the Cowboys, so stacked. And I think Kyle Shanahan hides Brock Purdy in beautiful ways because they are so stacked, and he's able to do that creatively. Are you, Eric, on the same teaser that the whole world is on Saturday?
Yes, and actually I put it up. I feel like 37 years old. I put it on TikTok. The Chiefs down to 2.5, and that one, by the way, Gil, like all these games. If you look at Pinnacle, for example, which is one of the sharper books, but you know everybody sort of follows suit. All the favorites have gotten bet up now. I know the Bengals got some money early down to 4, but that has gone up to 5, and it's better than plus money to take the dog. It's better than plus money to take the dog in the Niners-Cowboys game as well. It's better than plus money to take the dog in Giants-Eagles. This Chiefs one, you know, I have no idea now that it's at, you know, 10 in Pinnacle, in cheap 10, and 9 and, you know, kind of everywhere else, why these books expose themselves to that teaser. Because, the only way that I can think of, you know, why they would do that is just, you know, basically because they don't believe in the Eagles, not necessarily that they don't believe in the Chiefs. But yeah, I like that teaser a lot. It's no longer available. And if you were inclined to bet it now, you just got to either lay the points with whichever leg you like the most, the Eagles or the Chiefs, because you don't want to tease just down to three.
That's right.
In the case of the Chiefs Jaguars.
It's a great point. There's teaser protection now on the Chiefs up to nine. So I think you might have already answered this there. Just if I was reading between the lines, you might have said it. But if I came to you on Monday and I said, oh, my God, Eric, one of those two big favorites on Saturday lost outright, it would be you would assume it would be the Eagles then?
I think so. The Chiefs, you know, they have the week off. I mean, they have kind of the nuts right now in the AFC, right, because they got the bye. Both of the teams that they're really worried about had to play full four-quarter games against teams with backup quarterbacks last week. The Jaguars obviously had to play a full game, and I think that they're basically house money right now. I think the Chiefs are going to, you know, roll here. I think the Eagles, you know, the back in when this team faced each other in, like, I think week 13, the Eagles were on the road. They were 7-point favorites in that one. And the total was 45. So to me, I feel like this is like kind of an overreaction to what we've seen. The Giants beat up a bad Indy team, play hard against a bad Vikings team, play hard against, you know, in a game where the Eagles are kind of trying to find themselves in week 18. A game where, by the way, the Eagles got out ahead by three scores before the Giants made that game close. And then the Giants beating a bad Vikings team that was kind of on their last leg last week. I think that this one's an overreaction, but you have to respect the market, and the market only has this game at 7.5, 8.
All right, so if you like Cincinnati best, you played the teaser that the whole world played on Saturday with the Chiefs and the Eagles. Was there something else that you bet?
I like Cowboys Niners over. I know that it's gone up a little bit, and the weather has, you know, the weather forecast has crystallized to being a pretty solid one there. I think we all remember the last time the Cowboys actually won a road playoff game, we remember how sloppy it was in Candlestick, but this isn't Candlestick. They don't play in San Fran anymore. They play in Santa Clara, which the weather is generally speaking fairly solid there. So I like the over there. You know, I could even be enticed. I know weather's not going to be great in Buffalo, but I could be enticed in the over in that game. And then lastly, the under in Chiefs Jaguars. I think that game, you know, unfortunately, is going to be a little bit disappointing. It kind of reminds me of Colts Chiefs back in 2018, where, you know, the Colts had like just a great run starting 1-5, you know, climbing their way back into it, getting an emotional win in the first round of the playoffs. And then they go to Kansas City and kind of get rolled. And I sort of see that with the Jags. And so I like under in that game as well. The total was just 51 when they played in what was going to be better weather in week 10 between the Jags and the Chiefs. So I like under in the Chiefs Jags as well.
Eric, I know we're usually way too cool, way too above asking the question that most human beings ask each other is who's going to be in the Super Bowl, but I'm going to ask you just that. Who do you think is in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Chiefs-Eagles. I think that the Eagles remind me a little bit of that 2017 team where they get out to such a hot start, the quarterback gets hurt a little bit, and now it's not as bad this year, but they don't look as great down the stretch the last three games. And people forget what the value of the one seed is in the NFC and the value of getting to the pick of the litter as far as, you know, placing a six-seeded Giants versus, you know, what's going to be, I think, a really good rock fight between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers.
Eric, enjoy the games. May you be dead on about Cincinnati and about that teaser.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Eric Eager, at Eric Eager, _. Don't forget that little underscore at the end from yep. Sumer Sports.
I hope he wins all his bets.
I hope he wins all his bets, but especially the two that we have as well. Maybe Matt Brown will deviate later. We'll talk some tennis with Dan Weston on the other side. Numbers Game Visa in the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Let's talk some tennis. If you don't like money, I don't know what to tell you, but Dan Weston is here. He is, if I had, again, I'll say this, if I had one bet to make on any sport, one game, one match, whatever, one goal, Dan Weston for a tennis play. That's what I would say.
All right.
Dan Weston from Pinnacle, covers tennis at Pinnacle, offshore global pillar in sports gaming, and of course also at Betfair. He joins us now at Tennis Ratings. He fought through the traffic in England to be with us, so we appreciate it. How you doing, Dano?
Absolutely, yeah. Hi, Gil. Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. I'm glad you you made it to us, and thank you for the Elise Mertens call the other day. You've picked her correctly a couple times in this tournament.
Yeah, she looks a bit undervalued right now, and I think that we went with her for the right reasons against Lauren Davis. You know, we talked about the market dynamics overvaluing recent performances from Davis against fairly weak opposition, and we were rewarded. So it was nice when that happens.
Yeah, we talked about 12-month, 6-month versus 3-month. Yeah, so that was a good discussion, and it ends up being a winner. And does the Elise Mertens train stop here? She's taking on Aryna Sabalenka, who besides Iga Swiatek would be the short shot in this tournament, and you're getting over $3 on Mertens. This is where it ends for her?
Yeah, I'm a bit less minded to pull the trigger now against obviously a big jump up in opposition quality. Although I don't think Sabalenka is necessarily as good as the market anticipates, certainly from the outright perspective, making her... Yeah, at one point she was a clear second favorite. Now she's just about second favorite over Jessica Pegula. I don't see Sabalenka being any higher than Pegula or Garcia right now. That's for sure.
All right, what do you like today?
Oh, there's a few things because I've been busy doing other stuff today. I haven't really quite finalized everything yet. I don't know if you guys have seen Dan Evans' comments in the English media. He's been talking a lot about how he has the game to get under the skin of Andre Rublev and how he's had a lot of success against him in the past, which is true. Evans has won 3 out of the last 5 matches they've played. And the matches that Rublev won were very, very tight indeed. So Evans certainly should compete against Andre Rublev tomorrow. Yet you can get odds of just over 4 against on Betfair right now on Dan Evans. I'm going to have a look at this in a bit more detail, but I'm leaning towards Evans as some form of handicap play, definitely capable of keeping it very close at the very least. So... expect Dan Evans to do okay against Andre Rublev despite the market prices.
And let me just do the translation again. When Dan says 4.0, again, we're talking about a dog, anything of that size. We're talking about a plus 300 play, plus 295 currently at DraftKings.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of American players who are definitely worth discussing as well. I'm really impressed, actually, with the career development of Ben Shelton, who is only 20 years old, just turned 20 in October and just broken into the top 100. I need to have a closer look at this again, but I'm really struggling to understand why he's underdog against, let's say, Popperin.
Oh, wow. See, I'm on Popperin, Dan. We're oppo there, maybe.
Okay, interesting. Well, yeah. Like I said, I've got a little bit more research to do, but I'm pretty sure that I like Shelton for that. His numbers in challenges have been pretty good on hard court as well, so... And generally at the start of the season as well, I'm quite minded to go with younger players as well who tend to come on a bit for the off season as well. So yeah, I think Shelton's got a higher ceiling, and again we can talk about ceilings again in this Tommy Paul versus Jensen Brooksby match where Paul's the favourite. It kind of feels about right, but not. Jensen Brooksby is gonna, in my opinion, is unless his injuries and stuff, he's extremely likely to have a better career than Tommy Paul. I think he's got a much higher ceiling, but Paul is much more solid at the moment. Brooksby, one day he plays lights out, the next day he is getting smashed by someone. So I mean, Jensen Brooksby has an incredible natural ability and high potential. Let's see how he gets on against Tommy Paul. And in that Q4 right now, I mean, it's just wide open now with all these upsets. And the same as in Q1 as well. I mean, we're going to have like players like Korda or Hukach or Brooksby or Paul or Bautista Agut or Andy Murray getting to the semifinals now.
Yeah.
Two of those bunch. So
that's what I said. I said earlier, by the numbers, Bautista Agut should be the short shot there. But do you really want to step in front of Andy Murray? It's tough.
6 hours on court, though, finishing at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's super tough to back up. Especially, you know, his age with his hip and, but you know what? He's got that will to win that players don't tend to possess. But obviously not just the 6 hours against Kokkinakis, but almost five against Berrettini in round one as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, like
11 hours of tennis. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, all logic suggests that Murray is going to be physically broken against Bautista Agut, who's going to just be solid and probably make him run quite a bit again. It's going to be a fascinating match. It really will be.
Do you agree with me that the Djokovic hamstring talk, which really, I mean, look, all of this is lining up beautifully. Daniil Medvedev losing overnight to Sebastian Korda. So again, if there's no injury problem, this is all the better for Djokovic here at this point. But because of the hamstring matter, his number has sort of stayed sort of static. Based on his history, though, are you buying this as being a big deal?
Well, after his round one match, he was, I think, about 1.8 on Betfair, so slightly odds on. At one point earlier, he was about 2.5 before settling around 2.4. So there's a big, actually, fair in terms of implied win percentage, a fair chunk has gone out of Djokovic's price. If it wasn't for this injury, which may or may not be a big problem, we don't know. I think he'd be pretty heavy odds on right now, given the absence of Medvedev and Alcaraz obviously pulling out before the tournament, Nadal losing. There really isn't much in Djokovic's way now at all. But the good thing is if Djokovic does have a bad hamstring, we're going to see a new slam winner almost certainly.
Yeah, for sure we will. Last thing, Dan. Iga Swiatek, the tournament essentially really starts for her now, and she's taking on Wimbledon champion Elena Rybakina. And Iga's a big favorite. She's north of a $4 favorite. Is that too much?
I don't think so. We're often talking about Iga as a phenomenon, and yeah, for me, I think that there's a big gap in quality between her and Rybakina at the moment. Certainly on return, where Iga's winning around 10% more return points on hard court in the last year, which is truly something. They've only really met once before on the main tour. Iga won in straight sets. I struggle to see much more of a different outcome, actually.
Me too. I think she's going to win double-digit majors. I think she's going to be the greatest player of all time. But what do I know, Dano? What do I know?
I agree with you, Gil.
Yes. you have no idea how much incoming I've taken from that position, but I maintain it all along. Dan, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk with you next week as well.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gil.
Dan Westin, everybody. I want to read this one tweet, though, back to football here for a second here, Kelly, because I mentioned this on the Megapod as well, and this has to do with, I believe, because my take on Daboll and the Giants is not as bullish as everybody else's. I think Daboll gets credit for a lot of, like, good fortune they've had in red zone situations and in third down situations. Tim Thompson says, Gil mentioned it briefly on the pod, but I think it's an angle next year. Season win total under. That's what I advocated on the podcast yesterday. Whatever the Giants' number is, what do you think it'll be? 8.5, 9.5 next year?
Oh, I think, I think the Giants and Vikings could both be inflated.
I am all gimme the under on that. And he points out, Tim Thompson adds on to that, says they'll go from AFC South, talking about the NFC East, they'll go from AFC South, NFC North to AFC East and NFC West with rising NFC teams like the Seahawks and the Lions, both with two new first rounders. So I completely agree as he piles onto that. By the way, pro tip of the hour has to do with that take that Todd Wishnev originated on the Bengals game. You know, look, if you do have bets on the Bengals, keep an eye on their offensive line early. If it looks bad, you can always live bet off your position, or you could just wait to live bet it, period. Don't have a pre-flop and see how that offensive line works and bet accordingly. Pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day, all available for VSiN Pro subscribers, only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Kelly and I, more football on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.